Trying to figure out what's happening in education nowadays is an exercise in futility. You have to learn a new language suffused with psychobabble and technospeak. Educators use terms like rubrics, social-emotional learning, and site-based management. Add to this soup of Orwellian newspeak the desultory acronyms of the testing and curriculum regimes, MCAS, NECAP, and the Common Core. All of these tests are supposed to be impactful so that kids can be college and career ready. Whatever happened to schools helping students become good citizens? One of the best ways to accomplish this is to teach a subject that isn't covered in the endless parade of tests given students, history. History and its twin old-fashioned civics may not show up on the tests. Yet who can argue that there isn't a crying need to instill in youngsters an appreciation for the language, literature, and critical thinking embodied in the study of our past? This should be especially true in Rhode Island, a small slice of southeastern New England with a big influence on our region's and nation's economic, political, and cultural development. The Rhode Island Historical Society, one of the keepers of our state's past, has long recognized this. The Historical Society has tried to teach teachers the florid story that is Rhode Island history. Now the Society worries that history and social studies are getting lost in our public schools because kids aren't tested on these topics, says Alyssa Tardiff, the Historical Society's education director. The Society had a 3-year federal grant to support teaching local history, but this grant has run out. So the Society started a new initiative to bring the teaching of our past to schools. Tardiff says this initiative seeks to link the more than 400 local history and ethnic studies groups in the state with schools. There is some good news here. Rhode Island has one of the nation's best records of preserving the past, especially in the preservation of historic sites. We're a tiny speck of a state with museums and societies that spill over with the tale of our society. Yet there is a sadness in peering at the guest book at the John Brown House in Providence, one of America's first mansions, and seeing many more names from Toronto and Washington than Tiverton or Warwick. One way to combat the shallowness of the present and this rampant historical illiteracy is to learn about a past that always informs the future. Quote, the aim of education, unquote, in the words of that great philosopher and native New Englander, John Dewey, is, quote, to enable individuals to continue their education, unquote. Young people need to understand that the past is the foundation of the present. Rhode Island's story harkens to colonial times and the state's crucial role in the Revolutionary War. It continues as the birthplace of religious freedom and civil government. Our state kicked off the Industrial Revolution and was a World War II arsenal of democracy. Our history, of course, wasn't always a glorious tale. It was forged by humans. Rhode Island was a linchpin of the Atlantic slave trade and the exploitation of immigrant and child workers in factories. For too many years, our industries used Narragansett Bay as a sewer. We cling to the democratic ideal, but our state didn't always live up to it. Poor people, immigrants, and women were excluded from voting for way too long. We instill subjects from math to self-esteem in the young. Isn't it about time we taught them the critical thinking skills and respect for our heritage that we can only learn from history? Who wants to ask a high school student what he or she thinks about Roger Williams and have the answer be, Roger Williams? What team did he play for? Wasn't he Ted Williams' cousin?